Chapter 22, Sun, Jinbei. Chapter warning for implied cannibalism. Because Luffy. Jinbei is the first son of the sea, and he has always dreamed of suns. Bright, red, and bloody, passionate declarations of dreams and something better, a cry of understanding in the one burned into his chest, and a shout to the dream of a queen, a race, a kingdom, heralded overhead in bright colors, lighting up the sky. Suns are red and yellow and orange. Suns mean freedom, mean something better than this. In his dreams, Jinbei is always reaching out to them, his webbed hand reaching and reaching for the horizon, for a flag, for his queen, for Fisher Tiger, for something more. He never seems to reach it. All he has when he wakes up is his hand clutching his own heart, his own personal sun. It isn't the same. He's never grasped that red sun. Yet now? Now in a battlefield beneath a darkened sky, in a war with death in every heartbeat, in a massacre, a hell, Jinbei holds a dying sun. This sun, it's not red or bloody or bright. This sun is dark and dying, and a supernova in the deepest pits of hell. Jinbei holds Luffy as he explodes into something Jinbei can't quite see, ripping past the veil and into oblivion. Watches Luffy erupt into grief covered by his brother's blood, holding a sun brighter and darker and far more terrifying than anything Jinbei's eyes have ever seen before. There's something wet running down his face. He thinks his eyes are bleeding. Porcus D. Ace dies in his brother's arms, a burning hellfire finally flickering out, and Jinbei can finally hold the sun. As men die and admirals fall, and the world is shaken apart by a grief and monster with insatiable hunger, he wishes he couldn't. When Jinbei fights him for the first and last time, Ace is as the sun incarnate, the sun burning, even as he chokes on his own ashes and flares through seawater. Jinbei had wondered at first what kind of strength it took for a devil fruit user to use his powers through the hate of the sea. It wasn't the kind of strength he'd attributed to the young warlord. Then Jinbei remembers the bones shaped into the hull of the Spadilla, remembers the way Ace cracks apart in the corners of his eyes, and thinks it isn't strength at all. He knows the stories of the East. Every fishman does. The way waters corrupt, the way waters are dark, the way that monsters lurk beneath their surface, far deadlier than those at the bottom of the sea. They say the East has no sea floor, that it aches forever, a wound into the world's side, dark and infected, that it was the void from whence all hell poured forth, that it was death. Fisher Tiger had told him more when he could bear to speak of it. Monsters in chains, the way slaves and guards alike went missing in the night, the way people had sharper teeth than any animal there and were twice as bloody. Fisher Tiger hears the story of the bottomless East and laughs. "Dark waters," he says, eyes far away and hands aching for a weapon, "are not endless, but you don't want to know what's at the bottom. Better it be endless, bottomless, than to know what's there." He doesn't speak of the demon from the sea floor he met at the Tower of Gods. Jinbei doesn't ask. By the fire in Ace's eyes and the unholy crackling from underneath his skin, there is no other sea that he could possibly have come from. A demon, a son of the devil. Jinbei fights Ace for 5 days. He hungers and he thirsts and he's so tired. But Ace doesn't falter in the face of Jinbei's sea, so he must keep going. Jinbei burns, ropes of fire winding their way up his arms and down his back. Haki is useless when every hit cracks apart Ace's skin, molding to his fists because of inhuman capability instead of any devil fruit. And the sea fears nothing but the devil. And it can only drown false ones. Ace lands a punch on the third day, when imbued with haki and fire and false fire. It hits Jinbei on the side of his face, and even as Ace stumbles and chokes on the way his skin cracks apart, Jinbei burns. It cracks into his skin, searing apart scales and flesh, and he is marked by hellfire. The other burns will fade, the ones littering his hands and feet, the ones made by false fire, devil fruit fire. The one on his face, burned into the side like a flame, and the ones wrapping around his forearms by scorching hands will remain forever. A reminder, some will say. But Jinbei will remember the way the flag burned at Fishman Island by hellfire, and will know it's a sign of war to come. Ace burns away the fog around them on this island, showing the secrets of the world, and Jinbei fights surrounded by monstrous spades. Monsters in human shape that tower above the trees. Monsters without faces. Monsters with too many teeth and too many limbs. Monsters that smiled and cheered as their captain burned through salt water. Jinbei falls on the fifth day, a smile gracing his face toward an enemy that's so much more than him. It's a miracle when Whitebeard arrives. Otherwise, Jinbei thinks he might have followed that sun to see where it may have set. After Marineford, Jinbei shakes at night. He can't speak of what he saw there, when the sun fell from the sky and became red and dark, when gouges were scarred into the ground and left bloody men in their wake. After Marineford, Jinbei has another scar from a demon. This one is not a mark of war. It is a claim directly around Jinbei's heart, as if his future captain understood that the sun there was more precious than anything else. A dream. It scares him sometimes that he wants to follow the man who fell the Navy, who ate the hearts and souls and flesh of admirals and spit them back out as dead men walking. It scares him that he wants to follow Straw Hat Luffy, who wears a crown made of straw, made with room for the horns that sprout off his head, who will be king and who leaves a trail of hell in his wake. Jinbei does not remember Marineford well. He doesn't remember. The island's name no longer exists in his memory. "Don't bring him there," Rayleigh had said as they followed a submarine towards Amazon Lily. "You'll all be dead come morning." Rayleigh smiled like a creature of the deep sometimes. Jinbei wondered why he didn't trust it. "I," Jinbei, fresh from war, had agreed. And they didn't go to Amazon Lily. They went to the aftermath, beyond the words that fought whatever beast lived in Luffy's chest, born of loneliness and hell. Jinbei shakes after Marineford. But now, under the sea, he will not forget the demon who saved an island, the brother of the demon who burned their flag. Luffy soars overhead and defeats a legend made of wood and an army made of flesh. 1,000 men are unaccounted for in the aftermath. Jinbei doesn't question it, and offers his blood to a demon who doesn't need it. In the end, it wasn't about blood anyway. It was about the things that bind people. The things like suns on Jinbei's chest, and vows that still ring in his head. Luffy, full of teeth and bloody fangs, smiles at him then, and Jinbei no longer belongs to himself. In Impel Down, when Ace is chained to the wall next to Jinbei, the very first thing the demon does is laugh. It stayed! The scar on Jinbei's face burns. You couldn't bother to say hello? Ace laughs again, sparks flying out of his throat despite the sea stone wrapped around his limbs, and Jinbei knows that all the legends are true. Why would I? There's more important things going on. He dismisses, and he's smiling, mouth glowing, despite their situation. Humph, Jinbei huffs, and settles down for the long wait. Next to him, the breath of the demon settles into something slower. And though Jinbei's eyes are long adjusted to the dark, the soft glow of Ace's heartbeat is a comfort. He wonders, when Fisher Tiger was chained next to monsters, if he ever felt this way. He doesn't sleep that first night in a cell with a demon. Jinbei instead listens to the thrumming of the sea outside his cell and tries not to think about how the stone sinks around Ace and the hotness in his cell. He tries not to think of the wet spots over the walls, the gouges in the corner, and the way men enter and never leave Impel Down's cold, cold walls. Across from him, a man made of sand smirks, his hair still impossibly greased and jewels still lining his hand. So, the crocodile drawls, they caught you two, a little hunger picking us off one by one. Jinbei's heard how Monkey D. Luffy saved a country on the behest of a single friend, how Crocodile was the first to fall and Moria didn't come long after, how even the Marines whisper that he's hungry and Monkey D. Garp laughs at the lists of missing Marines following Straw Hat battles. A man who hungered for the top, who hungered for dreams. Odd that Crocodile would assume Jinbei was next. No, he says at last, the word drawn out. No, he repeats as it echoes around the room. He didn't get me. The crocodile cackles then, and it's nothing like Whitebeard's gura ra 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 or King Neptune's ho 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 ho. It, instead, is a dark like rumbling sands at night, without form or shape in the dark, and Jinbei shivers. You will, the crocodile says. You're already marked for it. Jinbei has never met Monkey D. Luffy in his life, and the burn scars that arc about his face in a flaming pattern of death are invisible to his beloved crew, to the king, to anyone who isn't... Oh, Jinbei thinks and doesn't say aloud, looking at the crocodile once more. Oh. He's glad Ace is the demon he's sharing his cell with. Then, at the very least, he knows his heart won't be ripped out of his chest while he sleeps. On Fishman Island, at the bottom of the sea that is brighter than the east, there's a feast, and then a pirate challenges an emperor. Jinbei is not surprised. He can't be. Hey, Jinbei, did you know I have a little brother? He can only watch as a ship of dreams, of monsters, sails off into the sea without him. He can only know that his home, his captain, is leaving him. Aladdin says Jinbei is different after Marineford. That every man who set foot upon that island is. It was war, Jinbei dismisses. But they've fought in wars before, have fought admirals before. It's different, fighting a demon, fighting with a demon, fighting for a demon. It's different when a demon eats you whole. Jinbei wants to go home. Jinbei sees Garp, the Fist, once before Marineford. It's in Impel Down, and he's crying from a thousand different eyes. Ace, the grandfather of a dying child says, and it hurts. Why, damn it, why? His voice is like a choir of growls out of harmony. Still, Ace relaxes in his chains as if it were a lullaby. Gramps, Ace acknowledges, and there's no anger there. You know why. Son of the devil, Jinbei knows. But it's more than that, isn't it? More than Jinbei can see with two eyes made of mortality rather than death. Garp crumbles, and it's as if Jinbei is seeing the fall of something great. It's horrible. It won't be the last one he sees today. Garp leaves after that, to the chuckles of the crocodile and the howls of the other inmates. There's bloody marks and gouges on the ground where he was, but there's also something in Ace's grasp. It isn't a key. Jinbei can't exactly tell what it is, only that when Garp left, Ace lunged for some empty spot on the ground, hand slipping out of a cuff with the ease of someone made molten, of someone with scars running down his hand due to a missing pinky. How? When Ace leaves, he leaves ash marks and burning droplets at Impel Down. He also leaves something feather soft that Jinbei can't quite see, but feels like the comfort of ages. Later, when Luffy arrives, he will look into the cell and see not Jinbei, but the place Ace left behind. He will pick up what Garp, what Ace, left between cell bars, and he will not smile. Instead, he will put it into his pocket to the sound of Crocodile's jeers. "Did you know I have a little brother?" Ace had asked Jinbei. He knows now. On the way up, when men are eaten alive, the crocodile will slink next to Jinbei and whisper, "Did you know that the Hungry One isn't the first demon to break out of these walls?" And Jinbei will be left with a reminder that Impel Down has never been able to hold the monsters of the world, and that they roam free. At Marineford, Jinbei stood with an emperor against three admirals. Stood with men against a monster. Or so he is told. Now he stands before an emperor and does not shake. A man who is to follow the future king of the pirates. A man who's to follow Luffy. A demon who has daggers in his mouth and boiling blood in his veins. Can't afford to be afraid of a mere emperor. Big Mom's eyes are hungry as she stares into Jinbei. But he doesn't flinch. He is claimed by marks around his own personal son, by a king, by a monster, by a conqueror. He's not Big Mom's any longer. He never was, from the moment Luffy looked into his eyes and took him. Jinbei can't afford to be afraid of a mere hunger any longer. An emperor rages, a deal is done, and Luffy laughs so bright and loud it burns like the sun as chaos reigns, conforming to his will. Jinbei has never felt so alive, not since before Marineford, not since the world fell apart. Jinbei sees Luffy and Ace together twice in his lifetime. One is at Marineford, when brothers fought together. When the sun went out and the world went black. He doesn't remember it well. Ace's smile was something almost too private to bear, even as blasts of Conqueror's Haki illuminated the truth. The second, again, is at Marineford, but in its bloody aftermath. When Luffy rings in an era, blood scarred onto his arm by his own hands, a call to his crew, to his family. He stops by the place where his brother died. Jinbei wonders if this is what Logue Town was like, to see a king stand in ashes. The Devil King did not cry at Logue Town, only laughed. Luffy is crying. He sees Luffy cradle bits of Ace's bonfire in his arms, the only person who could bear to touch it, and sees brothers unite for one last time. There is a chill over Marineford as Luffy draws in the ashes of Ace's own body turned funeral pyre. Jinbei can't read what he writes, but there's a spark somewhere in Luffy's eyes, and something in the air breathes more easily. Days after, Marineford sinks to the bottom of the sea, its ravines and cracks from a monster's grief too terrible to sustain. Luffy's rage, his echoing cry for a new era, is its final send-off. Jinbei wonders if the eastern sailors found their way home at the bottom of the sea. There's no sun down at the bottom of the sea. Jinbei would hate to drown like that. In the middle of a raging ocean, just off of an emperor's domain, Jinbei is home. He's home, he's home, he's home, he's home aboard this ship of dreams, but he can't stay. He can't. There's an emperor chasing them, and Jinbei is not scared, and he's strong, but his crew, his beloved crew, they love him. He can't abandon them here to the mercy of hungry monsters. He can't take them with him to the crew of a hungry demon. Jinbei tells Luffy, soaked and shaking as much, "I cannot abandon them now." And Luffy, who Jinbei held dying in a battlefield that hazes from his memory, who Jinbei watched rise, who went a dark supernova, becomes a sun again. "Jinbei," Luffy says, and his teeth are snarling and his eyes are hungry, "I am your captain now." And Jinbei finally holds the red sun of his dreams in his grasp. Jinbei is the first son of the sea, and his dream is the sun, red and bloody and free.